Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
We've learned a lot in the relationships series so far, so I hope your relationships are stronger than they were when we started. If you've applied even two or three of these things to your relationships, I promise you, your relationship is growing and it's developing. If it's not, then it's probably because you haven't applied these things. What we've learned so far, first of all, how to be better communicators so that we are doing active listening and that we are giving feedback to people and we're listening more than we're talking. Then we learned the importance of managing our expectations, not putting too many expectations on people. We're going to hit that a lot more today in just a minute. We learned why we need to be vulnerable. If we're not vulnerable in relationships, we have barriers that are going to stop those from being intimate and growing. We learned the value of prioritizing relationships in the midst of all of our busyness, our jobs, our hobbies, our careers, our families and things. Relationships need to be at the top. We learned how to fight fair or how to navigate conflict with grace. So hopefully you're better at that than Mike Tyson was yesterday. But anyway, the need to grant and seek forgiveness is something Pastor Charlie deeply shared with us last week, and I hope you all appreciated that. If you missed any of these messages, or if after seeing that list again, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember, but I need to go back, go to our website, YouTube channel, share that with others, and watch it again, and let these things sink deeply into you. Now, when this series began, last week was the last message in the Relationships series. But I was talking to Pastor Deanna, who sometimes her and the Holy Spirit sound a lot alike, those two voices in my head. And as we were talking about it, it was like week one or week two, we realized that there was something missing that's foundational in relationships. Anybody want to give it a guess what we had missed that we're adding in today? Oh, you guys were the first service. Anyway, that's not fair. Anyway, back to conflict. Here we go. Right. No, trust is the foundation of every relationship. And if we're honest, a lot of us have trust issues. We really struggle with trust. So we need to start by actually defining what trust is. And if you look at the Cambridge Dictionary, it says this about trust. It means to believe that someone is good and honest and will not harm you, or that something is safe and reliable. I think that's a pretty solid definition of trust and something that we would all want to lean into. If you look at Scripture, in the Old Testament, mostly written in the Hebrew language, the word trust is translated from the Hebrew word nubata, and if you speak Hebrew, forgive me for what I just did there. It means to be confident, the feeling of safety and security that is felt when one can rely on someone or something else. And then in the New Testament, the Greek word that's often translated as trust is pisteuo, which also is translated as faith. And it means simply to believe, to have faith in, hope, and a certain expectation. So as we're unpacking trust issues today, we need to think about the words safety, security, hope, things like that. That's what we are leaning into this morning. We want to feel safe. We want to feel secure. We want to have hope. But at the heart of our trust issues is one question that I want you to wrestle with the whole time that I'm talking today. Is who or what do I ultimately trust? Who or what do I ultimately trust? Now, I'd love to ask you to share that with your neighbor and everything, but then you know it's a trap and you're going to say Jesus because that's the right answer when you're in church. But think about the things that we trust without even thinking about it every day. How many of you drove here? You trusted your car was going to start this morning when you got in it, right? If you're online, you trusted that your device was going to turn on, it was going to have power and all that, and that you were going to be able to watch this. You trust your phone every day. You trust that if you have a job, you're going to go and you're going to work, and there's going to be money in your bank account when it's payday, right? You trust that that's just going to happen. And you also trust potentially the person sitting beside you, the other people that live in your house, your work colleagues, your friends at school. We trust people. The problem comes in when those things let us down. Because the car one day is not going to start. The phone's battery is going to be flat because there's a timer that the phone company, anyway, that's a whole other subject. The phone batteries are going to be flat. Jobs are going to finish. And people, even if they don't want to, are going to let us down. It's going to happen. You know, many of our relation slips stem from looking to people or things for the security and fulfillment that only God can truly provide. See, trusting anything or anyone to do that creates instability. It puts pressure and strain on relationships. See, trust is foundational to every relationship. And if it's foundational, we need to make sure we're putting our trust in the right place. Now, if you're here locally, if you're in the room, you know that the plaza across the street there has had major issues this year. Half of it was shut down on one end and half of it on the other end. By the way, Grilled opened back up Friday, I'm told. So lunch today, Grilled, right? So praise God. Anyway, where was I? Yeah. Anyway, the issues, the reason the plaza was closed down is because they had foundational issues that had to be addressed. And it was unsafe to walk around in the place. There's a church just down the street at the other side of the plaza, built by the same builder, that was shut down completely. The building's been condemned. They're not allowed in the building because it has foundational issues. It's not safe to be in there. Foundations are important. They are vital, and they're also vital in relationships. Jesus talked about foundations in Matthew chapter 7. He said this, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." So Jesus paints a picture here of building a house on rock or on sand. And, you know, when you look at houses going up all over the place, you can see houses actually can go up pretty quickly, and they all fairly much look the same on the surface. But when you get inside and you start looking around, you see that they're not all created equal. And when, over time, the rains come, the winds blow, then things get difficult circumstantially for the house, some hold up better than others. It's because of the foundation. The foundation has to be solid for the house to stand. With one, you're secure. If you're built on a rock, that's secure. If you're built on sand, then that's volatile and it's going to crash eventually and collapse. Trust is like that solid foundation if it's in the right place. It's essential for every healthy relationship, whether it's with God or with others. But without trust, relationships are fragile. They're going to fall apart. So where should we place our trust? I already asked you, where do you place your trust? But where should you place your trust? Should it be in things or money or jobs or even people? I'm going to suggest to you, Scripture directs us somewhere else. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Very familiar verse says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." Now, we love that verse, and most of you could quote that verse. It tells us, gives us right away where our trust should go. It should be in the Lord. But look at this one. Look at this in Psalm 118. It says, "It's better to take refuge," insert the word trust there if you like, "in the Lord than to" what? "Trust in people." Do you know that verse was in the Bible? That it says, don't trust in people? Man, that blows my mind because I got a lot of people around me. And sometimes I actually need to trust people. But it says it's better to take refuge, or it's better to trust the Lord than to put your trust in people. What this teaches us is that trust is spiritual before it's relational, and that we have to learn to trust others by beginning with trusting God. So God provides a trustworthy foundation for relationships. We're talking about foundation things here. God provides the trustworthy foundation. Psalms chapter 62, starting in verse 5. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. The psalmist here is making it clear that God is the stability. He is unwavering. He is the solid foundation. He is also the source of hope that can be trusted at all times, no matter what, at all times. Let those words sink in, at all times. Sometimes it's easy to trust God when things are going pretty smooth and cool, right? But when life gets tough, it gets harder and harder and harder. Look what Isaiah the prophet says. He says this, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. So Isaiah is emphasizing here that peace comes from our jobs, right? Or peace comes from that nice house we were able to buy, or that new car that we got, or that latest iPhone. That will destroy peace, by the way. Anyway. No, he says peace comes, perfect peace, comes from all who trust in God. Anybody want peace in their life? Okay, good, good. Yeah, better response than the first service. The first service, nobody wanted peace. So when you look at world peace and how it's going to come together, the first service isn't going to do it. But trust in God if you want peace is what Isaiah says. Then look in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. You see, trusting God starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul presents Jesus as the only true foundation. See, when we give our lives to him, when we trust our lives to Christ, he promises us his presence. He promises us his spirit and the assurance that we belong to him. Do you know what that does for us? That gives us our identity. And that is so important for trust in our relationships, because if our identity is in Christ, then we're not looking for other things to fulfill that. See, we go through life looking for stuff to fulfill us, looking for security, looking for comfort and safety. We want to be special. We want to be successful. We want to be happy and peaceful. And we try to fill that with all the wrong things, with all the things that are like pursuing our career and relationships, or if I get this job, or I get this house, or I get that car, or that person, then it's all gonna be good. You know, though all those things, by the way, they're not bad inherently in themselves, but when we're pursuing those things for our identity and our fulfillment, we've misplaced our trust. See, when we trust him completely, we gain the strength to trust others and build relationships that can withstand life's challenges. The rain's coming, the wind's blowing. When we place our trust in Christ, it transforms every other relationship, because we're no longer looking to others for security. We're no longer looking to others for the affirmation that we so desperately want. Those things are grounded in Jesus. So if we're going to build a relationship that involves trust with other people, then we need to start by surrendering our worries, our fears, and our insecurities to God. We let him take care of those things. We don't expect others to take care of that. We can't share deep trust and consistent trust with others if we haven't already resolved this for ourselves. Our identity is in Christ. See, Jesus is the foundation, and no one else is going to be able to fill that role. Trusting in anything else is like building that house on sand. So think about where you're placing your trust. Where are you looking for security? Where are you looking for that identity that's going to give you peace and comfort? If it's anywhere but in Christ, then it's misplaced trust. And misplaced or misdirected trust brings frustration to our relationships. See, so we're already going to be frustrated, disappointed, and everything, but now we're going to be bringing that into our relationships when our trust is misdirected. See, we've all experienced the pain of broken trust. A friend lets you down, a relationship ends, someone didn't keep a promise. We've all experienced that because people are fallible. And even those with the best intentions are going to disappoint us sometimes. I'm a big proponent, you already know, of spreading the disappointment around. So it's a given that's going to happen. When that happens, when these things let us down, we get disappointed and it affects our relationships because people didn't do what we thought they should do and we have unmet expectations. Go back and listen to that message on expectations if you want to go further on that. But when you and I are looking to people to provide our sense of worth, our sense of value, our trust is misplaced. See, we're expecting things or people to do something only God can do. He is constant. He is unchanging. And you can't expect people to meet your deepest need. See, when we do that, we try to place that weight and that burden on someone. Think about it. You know, this isn't rocket science. This is a very basic message today. But as you start thinking about that, when we're looking to other people for our sense of safety and security and identity and value and worth, think about the weight you're putting on that person. That, to me, that's life-changing. Because the people I love, I don't want to put that pressure on them because they're going to fail. Ask them. They'll tell you. We disappoint him. Yeah, all the time. That's unfair expectations that we're putting on people, unfair pressure. It's going to leave us frustrated and in conflict with people. You know, one of the biggest problems I see in marriages and conflict and marriage breakdown is related to finances. Look at what 1 Timothy says about finances. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Now, this is almost a sideline. Could have done another message just on this. But it's about trust and where we place our trust. And like I said, this is one of the biggest causes for tension in marriages. Often, because we see money as our ultimate security. It's going to be the ultimate fulfillment because it can buy all those things except relationships. And in a relationship, we're looking to the money instead of God to provide. So in relationships, people are going to disagree. Some are going to want to spend because that's going to bring them fulfillment. Others are going to want to save. Now, we had this, Deanna and I had this early in our marriage until one of us changed. And I won't tell you who that is because I'd be embarrassed. But some of us want to spend, some of us want to save. And those two are opposed to each other. We have different priorities about our finances. And when both parties are looking for something different, fulfillment in stuff versus fulfillment in savings, you're going to have a clash. And it all goes back to where we're putting our trust. Where we're putting our trust. Now, that works for money, but it also works in our relationships for people. Last week, you heard Simon talking about the lights on the building, and I was here a week ago Saturday watching that happen, some of that going on, and I'm emphasizing watching. I was moral support. I was encouraging them, saying, rah, rah, great job, guys. But I wasn't up high because I don't do heights. This platform makes me nervous because it's too high, all right? But my son, who is a telecommunications high rigger, climbs towers and has a harness and ropes and all this kind of stuff, he was over on the largest part of the building hanging a sign, and he did that by abseiling down the building. And he was hanging on a rope, and he would stop and put a bracket up and put it on. And I would look, and then I'd have to look away because I'm like, I can't deal with that because I just saw him crashing. That's all I could see in my head. But he knew what he was doing. He has licenses and tickets and all this stuff for it. But I'm like, whose son is that? It's got to be, he gets that from his mom, not me. As I was looking at that, I remembered, okay, it's time to hang Christmas lights again because I had a short season where I wasn't going to do Christmas lights on the house anymore because the kids were grown, and then I got grandkids, and they're more special than the kids, so I have to hang Christmas lights now. And I am not the most steady person on ladders and things like that, especially if it's a rickety ladder. But anyway, I'm going to do it again, and I don't know what the age is when I'm supposed to stop. Somebody can tell me later. But I don't know about you, but if you've ever been on a ladder and it's maybe unstable, the environment where you've set it up isn't quite what it should be, and you get three or four steps up and it starts shaking, do you get nervous and feel that tension? Right? At least I do. When we misplace our trust and put it on things that aren't designed to bear the weight that we're putting on it, it causes collapse. It causes failure. It causes frustration. See, that's what it's like when we put our trust in those things that aren't designed for it. We're headed for a collapse. So we need to let God be the ultimate source of trust and confidence and fulfillment because of this. Because trusting God first brings freedom in relationships. If we trust God first, then we've got the freedom for the relationships. Trusting God first allows us to lean into Him fully, which frees us to build relationships without needing them to meet every need, because we're trusting God to meet those needs. God is faithful, He's unchanging, and He's always true to His word, so our primary trust must be in Him. Look what Psalm 37:5 says on this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. It says, trust in Him, then do good. In other words, when we trust God, we can then settle our relationships with others, and they'll be steady and grounded, free from the desperate neediness that we all have or pressure. See, when we trust God as our provider, then we're free to build relationships that are based on love, not dependency. We've all seen those relationships, right? Where you know that relationship, they're codependent. They're just there because they're both so needy that they're feeding off of each other all the time. And you know where that's going. Everybody around them can say, right? Is it just me? Come on, are you guys with me? You've seen people? Right. You're not sitting by, anyway. When we're trusting God, that frees us up because it says, you know what? I don't need this person to fulfill me. I don't need this person to meet every need I have. So I can focus on just loving them the way God's designed me to. And then you can trust them. So we're going to start by trusting God fully. Now, why do we struggle trusting God fully? Why? James tells us in chapter 1, partly why. When you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. See, James says, don't be double-minded. Don't say you're trusting God, but then behave like you're not trusting God. Don't say I'm going to trust God, but I've got plan B, which is actually my plan A because I'm not trusting God, right? See, there is no plan B in God's economy. When we make a plan B, it's really because we don't trust God to come through and do what we want. Friends, real faith, faith in God, believes on the other side of disappointment. Anybody ever been disappointed in God? You're not raising your hands, but I know you have. Because we've all wanted God to come through in a way that He didn't. And we're disappointed. Some walk away at that point. Say, if God can't come through in that situation, then I'm done. I can't trust Him anymore. Real faith in God understands that God is the King. that he is in control, that he has a purpose, he has a plan, he knows best. And the question that we have to answer is, are we going to let him be God, or are we going to be God of our own lives? Because real faith in God says this, it says that I know you can. I believe you can. I even believe you will. But if you don't, you're still God. And I'm still going to trust you. See, God invites us to have a single-minded trust in him. No plan Bs. And when we trust God fully, then we can love others freely. That's where we've gone to today. If we trust God fully, we'll be able to love others freely. See, trust is rooted in love. And love overcomes fear. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Fear and insecurity drive our trust issues. We are afraid of being hurt, of being let down, so we hold back. But true love calls us not to hold back, to take that risk, to say, because of love, I'm going to take that risk. Even though I've been hurt before, I'm going to continue to take that risk. And when we're afraid, 1 John chapter 4 says this, perfect love expels all fear. Perfect love expels all fear. So if you're afraid in your relationships, check your love. Because the corollary of this is also true. Perfect fear casts out love, expels all love. If you're afraid, you're not going to love. And if you're loving, you won't be afraid. Take that on board, friends. Perfect love expels all fear. Let love take over. Let love take control in our relationships. Choose to trust God's love for us. And that will make it possible for us to let go of control and trust other people. A couple of final thoughts before we wrap up today. I took a very different approach to this message when it was on trust. And it's not just about us doing stupid stuff in our relationships that breaks trust, which we could have talked about that for hours, but we already know that. It was about trusting God rather than trusting people and putting that pressure on people. However, as we placed our trust in God, as we do that, and we seek him as our foundation, it's crucial for us to understand this doesn't give us permission to be unreliable, to neglect building and nurturing our relationships. Trusting God fully should actually transform those other relationships. Here's a few things for you to take home with that. Trusting God enables us to be trustworthy. See, the more we trust, lean into God, into trusting God and God's character and who God is, the more we're going to reflect God's character. He is faithful. He is just. He is kind. And we can't just use trusting God as an excuse to break promises or act irresponsibly. Instead, we need to let our trust in God reformat us and reshape us. Then, trusting God doesn't excuse responsibility. God is the foundation, but we still have a responsibility to be accountable for the things we do. It means that when we have wronged others, we make it right. We don't get an excuse. We don't get a pass just because we tell people to trust God. It's about being humble, seeking forgiveness when that's needed, and working to rebuild trust where it's been broken. See, trusting God gives us the strength and the grace to do these things even when they're hard. Then finally, trusting God elevates relationships. So we're talking about trusting God, not people, but that doesn't diminish the relationship. It actually elevates it. Because as we're trusting God, God tells us the relationships are valuable. People are of great worth, and we need to recognize that and honor and value the relationships. It includes being faithful, reliable, and respectful to others. You know, if you've had trust broken, or if you've broken trust with someone, you know, trust is earned through integrity, and trust is built through consistency. So if you struggled in those areas, let me encourage you to be a person of integrity and consistency. That reflects God's character. Trust is also forged through adversity. When you go through hard times, that's when trust is built. In the easy times, you don't have to trust because times are easy. And then trust is restored only with grace. If someone has broken trust with you, be gracious, be forgiving. Remember Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, kind of where we started today? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. That was to get our focus on God, not people. But if you ever read the two verses that precede this, look at this, verse 3 and 4. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. Loyalty, kindness, the things that are centered on relationships. See, trusting God means living in a way that honors him and values other people and builds them up. So what do we do with all this? Well, if we go back to the original question today, who or what am I ultimately trusting? Who are you trusting to meet your greatest, deepest needs? Is it God? Or have you misplaced some trust? And in misplacing that trust, are you putting undue pressure and weight on someone else? See, when we make him that firm foundation, we find the security that we've been searching for. And that gives us the freedom to build healthy, resilient relationships. So as we wrap up, trust issues, they don't have to define our relationships. And as we deepen our trust in God, we learn to let go of our fears and take steps to build love and trust with other people. So this week, here's the challenge as we wrap this series up. Very simply, trust God fully so you can love others freely. It took a long time to get there, didn't it? It's so simple. But I'm just guessing you, like me, have a whole lot more problem doing that than saying that. Trust God fully so you can love others freely. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for even this series that you orchestrated. Thank you for throwing this in. And Lord, help us to trust you. Lord, when I think about even my own relationships and the times that I'm disappointed with people, Lord, I know I'm bringing frustration to the relationship because maybe I'm looking for something from somebody else that you want to give me. Lord, forgive us all for that. It's so natural. We see people, and Lord, we want people to build us up. We want to be affirmed by people. We want people in our corner being our champions. And Lord, that we know that's not bad. But Lord, help us not depend on them to do things that only you can do. And help us to trust you fully. Help us to trust you when it makes no sense. Help us to trust you when life's fallen apart in some area, whether it be a sickness or whether it be finances or whether it be one of our relatives or children or whatever that have gone off the rails. Lord, help us to still trust you fully. Help us to know that you can, believe you, that you can, and believe that you will. But Lord, help us when it doesn't happen the way we think it should to still acknowledge that you are God. Help us not stop believing in those situations. Lord, thank you for your love for us that shows us how we can love others. And Lord, help us as we try to trust you more each day. In Jesus' name, amen.